Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Romans chapter 4. Am I on, Brother Keith? Am I on back there? I'm good. All right. Romans chapter 4. Find your Bible. Find your place. You find Romans 4, say amen. Look in verse 16. We have this man Abraham that we've been preaching about. He is a man of faith. The Bible said he is the father of us all. And let me just ask a question. How many of you want to please God this morning? Amen? Everybody should. You want to please God, right? And the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so this whole series is about faith. Faith is something that you cannot see, but faith is something that you can. It is a substance. And it is real. Y'all believe that faith is real? You wouldn't be here this morning if not. Our faith needs to be increasing. People say, well, I'm just holding my own. I'm just remaining the same. Your faith is either increasing or it's decreasing. There is enough trials of life that if your faith is not increasing, it's going to knock you down. There's enough stuff that comes to you on a day-to-day basis. If your faith is not increasing, you're going to get knocked down. And so this is important. And Romans 4, we have as our text that we've been preaching from. Look in verse 16. Excuse me. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham. Do you understand what he's saying? This promise is not just to those that were under the law. It is a promise for you. It is a promise for me. It's a promise for Gail. It's a promise for Steve. It's a promise for all of us, right? The judge shall live by faith. Say it with me. The judge shall live by
faith.
We're saved by faith. We're kept by faith. How do you know there's a heaven? Right. Bible says there is. By faith we believe it. How do you know you're saved? By faith. You say, well, I felt something the day I got saved. Well, that's great. But that doesn't mean you got saved. You see, you're not saved by feeling. You might feel good one day and feel bad the next day. Some people shout. Some people say amen. Some people cry when they get saved. Some people have no emotion. So don't let emotion equate salvation. Faith is what saves us. Amen. Faith, not just anything, but faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in God's word. All right? Read on. Y'all with me? All right, in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him also he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called. Boy, I like this. Would y'all read that with me now? And what? And calleth those things which be not as though they were. The things that you cannot see. The things that are invisible, to call those things into existence as though they were. I want you to understand that. You cannot go by sight. You cannot go by feelings. You cannot go by what you think. You have to go by faith. And if your faith is anchored, listen. You say, preacher, I've got faith. I got faith. I'm gonna win the lottery and I'm gonna get $10 million. Well, I don't think that's in the Word of God. Amen. That's weak faith right there. That's not what we're talking about. But if you can take from the Word of God a promise of God and rest upon that promise, then God said it is calling it as though it's already happened. Y'all do follow me on that. All right. We got a lot of ground to cover, so stay with me. Let's skip on down. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope? You see, the natural world would look at Abraham and say, there is no way under heaven you're going to be a daddy. You're too old. You're past childbearing years. Look at yourself. Have you looked in the mirror lately? There's no way it'll ever happen. But Abraham said it's going to happen because God told me it's going to happen. God promised me. You can take it to the bank, my friend. If God promises it, do you believe it? And Abraham believed it. Now watch this. Against all hope, became the father of many nations, according to the which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And verse 19, and being not, say it with me, church, and not what? Not weak in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead. 75 years of age when God made him a promise. You're going to be a daddy. Brother Harry's turning 70 this week. Amen. Uh-oh. That's all right, Harry. You got 5 more years. Abraham's 75 years old, and God said, you're going to be a daddy. Humanly speaking, medically speaking, it ain't going to happen. But God. Are y'all with me now? So, can we apply that today? Absolutely. Humanly speaking, it ain't going to happen. Preacher, you just don't know the burdens I got. You just don't know the needs I've got. There is no way it's going to work out. No, not in your sight, not in your feeble mind, but God. But God. Amen. Read on. We got a long way to go. Not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. Understand that word staggered. That don't mean like a drunk. What it means is he didn't waver. Listen to me, church. That means this, that one day he believed it, and the next day he didn't believe it. One day he believed it. Monday, Sunday he believed it. Oh yeah, praise God, hallelujah, glory. I got something at church today. And then by Monday morning, well, I just don't know if it's going to happen or not. He didn't waver. What he believed day one, day two, day three, from 75 for 25 years he believed it. Read on. Verse 20, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was, say that next one with me, church, he was what? Strong in faith. Now listen, if you talk about your problem, and if you think about your problem, and if you call up Sister Fluffyhead on the phone and start going over your problem, you're not going to have faith. The more you talk about it, the less faith you're going to have. You're not going to be strong in the faith. You say, you can get to the point that you're so consumed with your difficulties that your faith goes out the window. But Abraham considered not everybody. Listen, don't you think in his day that Abraham, people would look at him and say, you are a crazy old man to think you're going to have a baby. But he listened not to the naysayers. He didn't listen to those that tried to throw a wet blanket on his faith. He staggered not. Why? Because God had made him a promise. Has God made you a promise? If he looked at himself or he looked at Sarah, he'd have gotten discouraged. But he considered not his own body, but he considered what God had told him. Now listen to me. You got to get this. He agreed with what God said. Come on, church. If y'all don't get nothing else, listen, I know what time it is. Just don't pay attention. He agreed with what God said. You say, what did God say? Well, if you'd read this book, you know what he said. And Abraham agreed with what God had already said was going to happen. In fact, he changed his name before he ever had a son. Y'all know that? Hey, his name was Abram. And Abram means this, high father. But he got his name changed to Abraham. I like what Brother May said. You put some ham on the end of it, you'll get blessed. Amen. You put some ham on the end of it, you'll get blessed. Abraham means a father of a great multitude. He changed his name, Brother Steve. They'd walk up and say, hey, Abram, how you doing? Don't call me Abram. Call me Abraham. I'm going to be a father of a great nation. He talked it. Y'all with me? Not only did he talk it, he looked at Sarah and he said, Sarah, we're going to change, your name's going to get changed too. Sarah means a princess. Your name's changing too, honey. You're going to be Sarah. Sarah is a mother of nations. Hey, what Abraham did was this. He confessed what he believed. Let that sink in a minute. You say, did he see it? Not at 75, not at 80, not at 85, not at 90. Almost 100. All right, come on, church. Faith, what does faith do? Faith shouts when the walls are still standing. Faith thanks God for meeting my needs when there's a stack of bills and you don't know where the next dollar's coming from. Faith says, by the good grace of God, my God shall supply all of my need. I count them as paid. They will be met. Amen. Faith, my friend, calls every bill paid, every need met, every battle won. Faith does not talk about what it sees or what it feels. Is this not the way we're supposed to live? Go with me, please. Romans 10. Turn over just a few pages. We may only get to the introduction this morning, but that's okay. I want you to get this. This will help you if you'll get it. If you ever get your eyes open, it'll help you. Look in Romans. It's up to us to increase our faith. Can I say that again? Some people want to put it all back on God. Some people say, well, if God would give me that kind of faith, I would believe it. God's done his part. You got to do your part. Now look in Romans chapter 10 for a second and verse number 6. But the righteousness which is of, what's that word? Speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Who shall descend unto the depth, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy what? Say it with me. The word is nigh, even in thy mouth. In thy mouth and in thy what?
Heart.
Here we are. The title of this is With the Heart. Now watch what he says. That is, read it with me, church, the word of what?
Faith.
Word of faith. I like Paul. Somebody may get critical of something and say, I don't know about all this faith preaching. Paul was a faith preacher. Amen? Paul was a faith preacher. Now watch this. Look in verse 8. The word is nigh even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. Abraham did not waver. He did not stagger because he believed what God had already said. And can God lie? No, let every man be a liar. But God is true. And what God says, it will come to pass. Look what he said. The word is nigh. That means close. It's close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You see, here's the key. With the heart, that is the key. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Look in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. How many of you not to embarrass anybody, but just say amen. How many of you know you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt? If you were to die right now, you're going to heaven. Amen. Jesus wants to come before 12 o'clock. Y'all go up. Amen. How did you get saved? Well, I joined the church. That don't get you saved. I've been a good person. That don't get you saved. I just put some money in that plate. That don't get you saved. I've done a lot of good works. I've done the crop walk, and I've took the polar plunge, and I've done all this. I've raised money for ALS, and I've done all these good stuff. Honey, that will not get you into heaven. What will is Romans 10, verse 9. Would y'all read this with me? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How did you get saved? You believed it in your heart, you confessed it with your mouth. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess, that's action on your part. What did Jesus do? He died on the cross for sinners. He shed his blood for your sin and my sin. But my friend, you could believe that in your mind. You could go through life believing there is a God and still die and go to a devil's hell. You not only have to believe it up here, you got to believe it down here. It is with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And it is with the mouth. The mouth confesses what the heart already believes. So what do we mean when we talk about the heart? The moment you believe, it is with your heart, and your mouth confesses what you've done, what you believe down here. Your mouth confirms what has happened on the inside. Y'all with me? Not only applies to the new birth, but it applies to every area of life. Listen to me right now. If you can believe and confess Jesus as your Savior, why can we not believe and confess that He's going to meet every need, that He's going to supply everything, that He's going to touch those that's in sin, that He's going to deliver the captive, that He's going to restore homes, that He's going to bind up the broken? That can we not agree with that? Amen. Is that not found in the Word of God? Watch it. Look in verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Four times the heart is mentioned. Verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. I believe with my heart. You believe with your heart. Now, what exactly is believing with your heart? Well, honey, it is not this organ that is pumping blood going through, circulating through my body right now. No more could I believe with this physical organ that I could say, believe with your lungs, or believe with your hands, or believe with your head. Your heart is the seat of your emotions. Your heart is the center of your life. Amen? You say, well, I need my brain. Well, thank God for that. Amen. But without the heart, you ain't got a brain. You got to have a heart in order to get blood up to the brain. When that heart quits pumping, guess what? Organs fail. Now watch this. Just like your physical heart is the life of your body, your spiritual heart is the life of your soul. What does he mean? The heart, not your physical organ. Notice how we use the word heart today. We talk about the heart of a tree, the core of the tree. We talk about the heart of a subject. We mean the most important part of that subject. We talk about the center of that. And when God speaks about a man's heart, he's speaking about the part of man that is the central part of man. It is the spirit of man. Listen, my friend. Every last one of us in here is a spirit being. We're just housed in a body. What you see is only a shell. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. When God saved me, he didn't save this body. No. One of these days I will have a glorified body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But in this world, in this life, this body is aging. This body, I use reading glasses. I take great pride in getting those hairs, Brother Darrell, just right and putting some hairspray on them. Just, you know, don't move. Amen. What am I saying? This body is wearing out. But my soul, my spirit will never die. Amen? When I breathe my last breath, this body will go back to dust. But friend, my spirit will go to be with God. Amen? Your heart is the very center of your life. The spirit of man and the heart of man are interchangeable. So when we talk about being believing with our heart, we're talking about believing with our spirit. Prove that to me. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 for a minute. Come on. At least, if you're not going to turn, just rustle the pages. Make me think you're turning. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, Psalms Proverbs. Look what the Bible said, verse number 20. Is anybody getting any help this morning? Proverbs 4, 20. He said, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy what? He didn't say mine, did he? Keep them in your heart. Verse 22. For they are, if you're with me, read this. They are what? Unto all those that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thy what? With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is the key to the issues of life. He's not talking about, listen friend, he's not talking about this organ down here. He's talking about the spirit of man. He's talking about, my friend, this is the part of your being that you believe with. It is with the heart, not this pump. It is with my spirit that I believe unto righteousness. It is with my spirit that I believe the word of God. It is with my heart that I believe unto righteousness. Are y'all following me? You don't believe God with your understanding. You don't fill your mind. Some people say, well, I'm gonna try this religion and that religion and that religion. Friend, all you're going to do is be like a termite in a yo-yo. All you're going to do is be confused over all these different religions. It is not with the mind. It's not with the wisdom of the mind. It's not with the understanding of the mind that a man is saved. It is with your heart man believes unto righteousness. Now this verse, turn with me to Proverbs while you're there. Turn back one. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your mind. Oh? Trust in the Lord with all of your lungs. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This verse is not talking about our mind or our knowledge. Your heart is the part of you that is the very center of your life. Raise your hand on this one. How many of you ever had a broken heart? But now, your physical organ didn't break. How many of you have your heart has been grieved? How many of you have been elated and ecstatic? Something, blessed you. And you say, some of you, this morning, y'all were going, woo, glory to God. Your heart. Spirit. Amen? Your heart is the part of you that you can grieve. Your heart is the part of you that you feel sorrow. Your heart is the part of you that can rejoice. Your heart is the part of you that can be glad. Being glad is not a mental thing. It is a heart thing. Your heart can be broken. Your heart can be ecstatic. It can be full of joy. It can be overflowing. He can be overwhelmed. Keep this in mind. It is not in your head. It is your heart. It is your heart. Your heart can be hard or it can be humble. Turn with me to Mark 11. I'm going to help you out. Stay with me. Mark 11. Mark 11. We've got a man here that had a problem believing. He had, let me give the story, save a little bit of time. This man had a son that was demon-possessed. Mark 11, give you the scripture, verse 22, 24. He brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do a thing for him. And then he brought his son over to Jesus. Look in verse 23, verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto him, talking to this man with the demoniac son, how many of you got children that need a touch of God? Amen. Watch this. Jesus said, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, friend, we're not in the mountain moving business. We're not going to set up an excavator. We're not going to go out to a mountain down the road and say, hey, mountain, get up and throw yourself in the sea. But there are mountains in your life. There are obstacles in your life that you cannot move. There are things in your life that you might as well just come to grips with, that in your flesh, in your power, you cannot change them. When your kids are this high, you can make those decisions for them. But when they get on up here this high, you're going to have to turn them over to God, and you're going to have to say, by the good grace of God, I'm going to have to pray for them. I'm going to have to fast for them. I'm going to intercede for them. I'm going to go before the throne of grace for them. But God is going to hear my prayer. Now watch what Jesus said. If you say in the mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shalt not doubt in his what, everybody? Don't doubt in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have a few things. Every other person gets answered to prayer. Y'all with me? He shall have whatsoever he saith. Is that found in the Bible? Is that God's word? Did Jesus say it? Is it true? Can it apply to you? And shalt not doubt in your heart. Jesus said, look at verse 24. I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall sometimes have them. Well, if it's God's will, maybe. What did he say, folks? Come on, the word of God. You shall have them. Is that the word of God? Did he say it? Can I take it to the bank? I can. Jesus said this. If you would receive it and you don't doubt in your heart, you would have it. Here it is. You must confess it and you got to believe in your heart. Now listen, I hear people say sometimes, well, I said it, preacher. I said it. I confessed it. But it didn't happen. Well, you just told on yourself. Because he said if you believe it in your heart, it would come to pass. Let me illustrate like this. There's some of you sitting here this morning. Y'all have come, maybe not to this altar, but you have come to an altar. And somebody led you in the sinner's prayer. And you prayed that prayer, but you didn't get saved. Anybody like that? Come on, talk to me, church. You say, well, I said that prayer. I told my daughter recently, I had a fellow one time, I was assistant pastor. I walked in one Wednesday night. The pastor said, hey, this man down here, and Graham wants to talk to somebody. Go ahead and grab Sunday school superintendent, go down there and talk to him. So I did. I walked in his house. He said, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I got to get saved. I said, well, why do you got to get saved? My wife just left me. I got to get saved. I said, well, sir, that's not the reason you want to get saved. You want to get saved because you're going to hell. I know. I got to get saved. How do I get saved? And reluctantly, I was young, and reluctantly, I prayed the sinner's prayer with him. And 5 minutes later, Gail, he got up cussing. He didn't get saved no more than a man in the moon. But you say he said the prayer. You see what I'm saying? You can say it, but if you don't believe it, it don't happen. You can pray. You can ask others to pray. But if you don't believe it in your heart, Jesus said it's not going to come to pass. Turn with me real quickly this morning, James 1. Real quick, James 1. I'm going to help you. Well, excuse me. I'm not. The Lord is. James 1. How many of you believe in this morning? Say amen. James 1. Now, I want to tell you something. The devil uses this scripture more against a Christian than anything else I know of. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Look in James 1, verse 5. He's going to use it against you. He probably has used it against you sometime in the past. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Some people say, I just don't know what to do in a certain situation. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Preacher, tell me what to do. The Bible said right here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask the Lord. Lord, give me the wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Not your point of view, but God's point of view. When you're faced with an obstacle, you're faced with a situation, you don't know what way to turn and which way is up and which way is down. You know what decision to make, if I should stay, if I should go, if I should marry, if I should not, if I should change jobs or whatever. Ask God for wisdom. Now, there are going to be some naysayers that come by and say, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, Gail? What are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, Kay? What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, Brother Stephen, I don't know what I'm going to do. Look, let's ask God. You'll be able to help somebody else. He's helped us in the past, hasn't he? He'll help us in the future. And while we're asking God, we're praying for wisdom, guess what? The light bulb turns on. And all of a sudden, you know exactly what you're supposed to do. Anybody ever happened that? Now watch this. Devil used to love to use James 1, 7 and 8. You know what he says? Look here. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The devil's going to come to you and he says, ah, you didn't get anything. You wavered. You didn't get it because you wavered. Well, I guess that's right. That's not what he's talking about. Not what he's talking about. Not what he's talking about. Turn with me real quickly. Mark 9. Go back to Mark 9. Mark 9. Here's this man, Mark 9. Save a bit of time. I got ahead of myself a while ago. Sorry about that. Mark 9 is the man with the boy. In Mark 9, here he brings his son to the disciples. They couldn't do anything. And Jesus says to him, look in Mark 9 and verse 22. The man looks at Jesus and says, Lord, he's got this demonic spirit. The spirit tears him apart. He falls on the ground. He wallers. He foams. He's possessed. Lord. In verse 22. Now watch this, folks. Watch this. And he said, the man said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Jesus, can you help us? Can you do anything? Now watch Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, here it is, it's going to help you. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But read the next part with me. Help thou my... So what's he saying? Lord, I believe in my heart, but my mind is wrapped up with unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. Listen, faith does this, my friend. Faith will work in your heart with thoughts of doubt in your mind. Can I say that one more time? Faith will work in your heart with thoughts of doubt in your mind. You cannot yield to those thoughts in your mind. The Bible said, casting down every thought, every imagination, bring it into subjection, crucify that thought, die, starve that unbelief, and feed the faith. And my friend, when you do those things, you shall have the things that you ask for. Because why? He said it, and I believe it. The enemy has robbed people by misquoting that in James. Hey, if you waver, you're not going to get anything. If you waver, listen, what you need to pray is this: Lord, I believe. But help me to cast down every thought of unbelief. Lord, listen, as you're believing in faith, come on now, church is going to get real. You got a wayward son or wayward daughter. You got a problem facing you. And you say, Lord, I believe you're going to do this. God, you're going to bring them home. You're going to save them. And then all of a sudden the thought comes in your mind. The thought comes in your brain. You might as well give up. It ain't happened yet. If it was going to happen, it would have happened before now. They're worse off now than they were yesterday. When that thought runs through your brain, you got to say, casting down every thought, every imagination, I bring it into subjection. Devil, leave me alone. Those children are mine. God gave them to me. They belong to me. They came out of my loins. They will be healed. They will be delivered. They will be set free. They will be saved. By the good grace of God, I believe it in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth, and I believe that God is going to be God. That'll help you. Faith. The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. It takes fighting. It takes fighting. You're going to be tempted. Miss Bonnie, you come to the piano for me.